That's the main thing. The main thing is what people miss most of the time. Get your Bible, turn to Genesis, if you will. Genesis, if you will. And Genesis chapter 32, very well-known account here. In Genesis chapter 32, we will start with verse 23. I'll kind of put the whole chapter into context for you. Jacob, the trickster, who stole his birthright, it wasn't entitled to him, took it away from his brother, tricked him. Jacob means the trickster, the supplanter. He thinks that his brother Esau is out to kill him. He's heard Esau's looking for him. And now he's gotten close to Esau, and he's made a plan. He's going to send so many sheep and so many cattle and leave a space, and he's going to send this, and he's going to leave a space, then he's going to send that, trying to appease his brother so that his brother won't be so mad. And Jacob's going to be the last one to get there because he's scared. He's scared his brother's going to kill him for stealing his birthright. So then we get down to verse 32, down to verse 23, I think it was. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent that he had. Now he sent everything he had ahead of him. Now he sent his family ahead of him. And they've gone over the brook. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched a hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." Now he's wrestling with the angel of the Lord. And he said, "Lord, I'm not. He knew who he was wrestling with. He said, "But I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me." Now he's already put his thigh out of joint, and he still didn't let him go. That would have put me out right there. Kept wrestling, kept hanging on. And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And Danny, you might want to come out of that room and see if I'm too loud or not. And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Did I go off? And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Father, help us tonight as we teach, just for a few minutes, on the power of prayer. Help us, Lord. We don't know how to pray. We don't pray enough. We don't talk to you like we ought to, Lord, until we get like Jacob and we get in trouble. Help us, Lord, to be better at praying. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for you wrestling fans, and I see there's some in here. I can tell by looking at you, you're a wrestling fan. Or used to be before you got saved. My mama watched wrestling. My mama's 99. My mama watched wrestling till they took wrestling off. She'd sit there with a mouthful of snuff and watch that wrestling. Her favorite one, they got to be old, remember this, was the Bolo Brothers. They wore these things over the head. You couldn't see their face. And whenever somebody wrestled them, they was always trying to tear that mask off. And my mom would sit there and root for them. "Get him! Hit him!" I hated it. Of course, it wasn't like it is nowadays. Back then, all you saw was naked men wallowing all over each other in their underwear. Now there's naked women doing it too, you know. But wrestling, a lot of people like wrestling. Now, there is real wrestling. In high school, they taught us how to wrestle. Of course, I didn't weigh about 60 pounds, so everybody pinned me down. But they taught us how to wrestle and box and things like that. But wrestling, you got to think about it like this. Wrestling, somebody's trying to pin somebody else down. That's the whole point. That's it. Till the ref can count to three. Ain't that it? Three? In boxing, it's 10, ain't it? In wrestling, it's three. And so the point of wrestling is to pin somebody down and you win. And if you look at this, this has got to be the greatest wrestling match that there was, ever was on planet Earth. He wrestled with the pre-incarnate Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, before he was ever born in a human body, wrestled with Jacob. Now, the reason he was wrestling with him is because he was afraid of his brother, who he thought had been out to kill him for years for tricking him out of his birthright. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
I hope you know what I'm talking about. Some people, they don't, people don't even read the Bible anymore. I don't even know if people know what I'm talking about. But now he's afraid. He sent all his possessions ahead to him. He sent all his livestock ahead to his brother, trying to appease his anger. And he would space them, you know. And now he's even sent his family ahead. Now, that's a coward, man. You just got to admit it. That man's a coward. Would you say that? I'd go before my family went. Amen. I'd go ahead and face the music. I wouldn't send my kids over there to face the music. But that's what he did. So now that they're gone, the Bible says he is alone. But he wasn't alone. He was far from alone. And it says in verse 24, Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. He wrestled the Lord all night long. Now, you can't hardly get people to go to Wednesday night prayer meeting. I don't know the last time I heard of all night prayer meeting. Billy, you remember those? They used to have all night prayer meetings. You go down to church, some people take turns, you know. Some would say, well, I'll come pray for 2 or 3 hours. I'll come pray for 2 or 3 hours. And there'd be people on the altar all night long. You know, some of the greatest things that ever happened in America happened after all night prayer meetings. It's hard to get people to say their blessing over their food in public nowadays. Amen. They might even curse it, you know. Some of the worst people, I'm told some of the worst people to wait on at restaurants, people that just got out of church. Some of the meanest, onerous people that eat out are people that just got off church. Amen. I used to have a friend. He was a preacher. I loved him to death. But he was hard on waitresses. The old man was hard on waitresses. Hey, if he run out of teeth, this is what he'd do. Shake the glass up in the air like this till she stopped. He'd say, I'm not giving you a tip if you don't keep my drink full. Well, it wasn't no big deal when he did give a tip. It wasn't no more 50 cents or a dollar. It wasn't no big deal. She wasn't losing a lot, you know. But I found out how that happened. His wife was a wonderful, sweet woman. I mean, a wonderful, godly, sweet woman. And every time that he'd run out of tea at the house, he'd go. And she'd fill it up. No question asked. You know what my wife would do if I did that? She'd laugh at me. She'd say, is there something wrong with your wrist? Oh, yeah, yeah. Stay out of my preaching. Y'all be glad it's Wednesday night. So now he's afraid. He's afraid he's going to die. Now, he didn't care if all his other family died. He just didn't want to die. So therefore, he sent everybody ahead of him. And he thought, well, I'm going to sit here and wait and see what happens. And I'll get word back. And if they're still alive, then I'll slip on in there and I'll make my apologies and ask him to forgive me for what I've done to him. Well, before he had a chance to sit around and wait, the Lord showed up. And he begins to wrestle with the Lord. And there's a lot of things in here. Now, his wasn't a prayer meeting until there at the end. When he realized who he had, when he realized who this man was, that it was the Lord, he said, I'm not going to. The Lord said, let me go. The sun's coming up. He said, I'm not letting you go till you bless me.
He said, let me go. I'm not letting you go to you. And he kept wrestling with him, and he touched his inner thigh, and he still didn't let him go after he hurt him. He held on. And then the Lord blessed him, and he changed his name from Jacob to Israel. Now, there's a couple things in here. Just want to quickly show it to you tonight. There's a couple things in here I want to show you how this compares to our prayer. Number one, I want you to know that prayer is a struggle. Now, you can go around here reciting the Lord's Prayer if you want to all the days of your life. And that's an outline, that's a model, that's not the prayer you're supposed to pray. That is the way you're supposed to pray. It's not the prayer. You got to get specific with God, and you got to tell Him what you want. And you got to struggle and struggle and keep asking and keep asking and keep asking and keep asking. And prayer's a struggle. For one reason is the flesh doesn't like to pray. Yeah. Oh, preacher, I love to pray. Your spirit might, but your flesh don't. Because while you're praying, your flesh is saying, your knee hurts, get up. And then while you're praying, your flesh say, well, you know what? There's 10,000 things you could be doing right now. You remember that floor you should have mopped back there? Those dishes should have been washed. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
Yeah, the flesh does not like to pray. It is a struggle to get this old flesh to get along with God and wrestle something out with God and get it settled. Amen? The problem with a lot of people in their Christian life that they don't have the spirituality that they need to have is because they won't spend time wrestling with God trying to get this stuff straightened out.
Amen.
I heard this preacher say one time, and may I say, biblically ignorant preacher, there's some of them. He said, I don't think you should pray for something but one time. Anything else is a lack of faith. And I thought to myself, he's never read Bible examples. And by the way, he didn't give us a verse or example on that either. And I thought, well, if I only asked one time, you know, I wouldn't hardly ever pray. I don't hardly ever need nothing. And when I need something, I ask and 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 I ask until God answers me. How do you just say it one time? And sometimes God wants you to say it more than one time. All these biblical examples, they didn't just say, Lord, I need some food. Lord, I need some clothes. They didn't do that. God wants you to pray, but it's a struggle. Now, listen to this. He could have let Jesus go. He didn't have to struggle with it. He could have backed out of that struggle right away and gave up. But when he found out who he was, he figured it was worth the fight. Now, a lot of times, let me tell you something. We don't get what we want, what we need, because we don't think it's important enough to pray enough about it.
Right,
yeah. We talk about our children, we talk about our grandchildren, we talk about our families, but how much do we pray for them? I mean, real prayer, agonizing prayer, weeping and crying out to God. How often do we do that for them? No, we send them off down there at schoolhouse, expect teachers to straighten them out. Then we send them off to Sunday school and expect the Sunday school to straighten them out. And then we give them 1 or 2 hours of preaching a week and expect the preacher to straighten out. But I've got news for you. Unless you get serious enough about it to struggle with the Lord over it, I don't think he thinks you're very serious.
Come on now.
He was serious about this thing. You know what he was doing? He was feeling after the will of God. And he was not going to let go of God until he knew what God would do for him. We don't have to run around the dark. I mean, when we pray, we ought to pray till we know what God's going to do. Amen?
Amen. Yeah.
Number two, it's basically a lonely struggle. Let me read you a verse. You don't have to turn there. Matthew 6:6. He says this, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Basically, Jacob, the Bible says, Jacob was left alone. Prayer is basically a lonely struggle.
And I know the Bible says if two or three agree touching on anything. I know that. And I know the Bible says, pray ye therefore one for another. I know that. And I know the Bible says, bear you one another's burdens. But basically, you're the one that lives in that shell. And you're the one's going to have to work this out with God. You've got to pray. And it's going to be alone most of the time. Other people can't always pray for you. And they're not the ones supposed to be struggling through this thing anyway. You are. Says he was left alone. Now, most of our prayer, we are all alone except for the Lord. He said, go in your closet in secret, and you pray to God who is in secret, and then God will openly reward your prayer. Just because you can make a long, complicated prayer in public doesn't mean that's prayer. Your real praying will be when you're all alone. In the dark, off somewhere from everybody else or something. All but the best praying I've ever done was in the woods by myself. I've been in the woods looking up to heaven saying, where is the God of Abraham? Where is the God of Jacob? Where is the God of Isaac? Where is the God of the apostles? Where is the God that created the heaven and earth? God, I need you, Lord. And specifically talk to God, cry out. I know at least one occasion some people probably thought I was crazy because I got so loud I know they could hear me. But your prayer is basically a lonely struggle, just you and the Lord. I'll give you a good example. When you wake up in the middle of the night, which I do fairly regular, you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't go back to sleep. You know what I do? I pray. The other night I prayed for everybody. I prayed. I couldn't sleep. And I think I prayed. I was trying to get my sleep back. I was praying selfishly, okay? So I wanted to go to sleep. So I said, well, Lord, I'm going to pray. And then, so I just started praying for people. And eventually I run out of people to pray for, and I'm still awake. My wife's laying over there snoring. Ain't bothering her. It's all about me. Basically, prayer is a lonely struggle. Now, I love you, Brother Ron. If you ever need me to pray, I'll pray with you. I do pray for you every day already. But you know, when it comes down to communicating with God, it's just you and Him. There's one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. Now, I love my wife. We pray together every day. But when it gets right down to it, she's going to have to get along with God for herself. Amen. Now, God does honor those other prayers, but God wants to spend some alone time with you.
Yes.
You ever thought this? Maybe He put you in the situation you're in so you would call out.
Amen.
Amen. Some people never pray unless they're in need or they're in trouble or they're sick or the doctors don't come in there and tell them they got 6 months to live. Then all of a sudden they cry out to God. Prayer is a lonely struggle. The Bible says Jacob was left alone. He'd sent his family, he'd sent his wife, he'd sent his children away, and the Lord showed up. Now you get off by yourself.
Yes.
And you get to talking to God serious about some things, shed a few tears, I'll guarantee the Lord will show up every time. People come to church, they say, well, preacher, bless me if you can. I need a blessing. You're asking the wrong one. You better look to the Lord. Amen. I love you. I'll do anything I can for you, but I can't bless you. He'll have to bless you. And people come in, boy, that preacher, you sure was a blessing today. I say, if you get anything good out of me, you blame it on the Lord. He's the one that gives the good things. Amen. He just gave it to me to share, and you caught some of it. Amen. Now, get alone with God, and it's going to be a lonely struggle. But you got to get by yourself, get in a closet, get off by yourself, and get to talking to God alone. You say, well, preacher, do you do the Lord's Prayer? No. I talk to Him just like I would my daddy. Amen. Number three, I thought about this. Prayer is a struggle, but we can prevail with God. This story shows a struggle between a man and God. A powerful struggle. Now, y'all listen to this. I'm talking about The creator of the universe, Colossians 1:16, by him all things were created. By him all things consist. The creator of the universe. And a man grabbed him and wrestled with him and struggled with him until he got his prayers answered. Now that's an awesome thought to think that we can get a hold of God himself. He said, "Let me go." I would have went. Wouldn't you? I said, "Whoa." Because same one that said that said, I am who sent you. The same one that said that, he spoke the world into existence with his own mouth. He's the same one when the soldiers came to get him to take him to be tried and they didn't recognize him, and he spoke to them, and when he spoke to them, they fell back. They fell on their faces. Now, Brother Rick, this man was desperate. He thought he was about to die. And for probably the first time in his life, he really prayed. He struggled with God. And he prevailed with God. He prevailed. He won the match. I want to know who the referee was. The Holy Ghost come over and go, 1, 2, 3. Amen. Hey, he won. He said, "I'm not letting you go till you bless me." And he prevailed. He won. The Lord blessed him. And it changed the rest of his life. He was never the same man because he won a wrestling match with the Lord himself and he came out the winner. Have you ever heard anybody say this? "Well, I'm afraid to pray for that. I'm afraid the Lord wouldn't want me to pray about that." The Bible says pray about everything. Yes. You say, "Well, I'd be scared to ask for that." Ask it. If it's not his will, he's not going to give it to you. Ask it. Amen? Amen. But you don't know what his will is. Here he took a dirty, rotten, low-down, lying, trickster, thieving, sorry brother, sorry son, and in one prayer, he changed him to a whole nother man. Amen. He was victorious. And the Bible says he blessed him there. He blessed him. That's kind of like salvation. Before I was saved, before you were saved, we struggled with the Lord. Yes. We struggled. It was a wrestling match. And we was down for the count, man. Amen. We were down for the count. And we struggled and we couldn't sleep and we couldn't be happy and we couldn't be satisfied and we were convicted all the time. And then that day, I don't know where you got saved or how it was, but that day that I was sitting in that pew in that church, I sit there and I wrestled in here with His Holy Spirit and I said, "Lord, I can't do that." He said, "You can." I said, "Lord, I can't do that." He said, "You can." I said, "Lord, I can't do that." He said, "Yes, you can." And I said, "Lord, if you'll help me move my foot, I'll go down there and do whatever I got to do." And I found myself walking down the aisle and the burdens were being lifted, and that day I won. He saved me. He gave me what I needed. Don't misunderstand me now. I'm not judging anybody's salvation. All I know is mine, okay? But sometimes I wonder about people who never struggle with spiritual things. How do you go through life, especially being a Christian, and not have these fights with the world and the devil and struggle with the Lord over His will and struggle with the Lord over saving your loved ones and struggle with Him? How do you do that? How do you get saved? And it was not a great transforming struggle that day. How did you get saved and you didn't struggle that day? "Well, preacher, I just went down there and asked the Lord to save me." Well, maybe you did. But what happened to the convicting power of the Holy Ghost that struggled in here that most of us had? What happened to
What happened to the couldn't sleep at night and couldn't live, couldn't hardly go on because there was a struggle going on in there? Billy sings that song about It Is Finished. And it talks about there was a struggle that day over our soul. And then it talks about there was a struggle within the singer, the one that wrote the song. I just don't see how Christians can... How can we live in a wicked, sin-cursed, vile, perverted society that we live in and not struggle with God over saving our children, our grandchildren out of this mess? Yes. Saving our nation, saving our churches. How do we do it? How do we not struggle with the Lord? This man was scared and he was willing to do whatever it took to get what he needed to save his life. And he wouldn't let God go until God blessed him because he knew if God blessed him, he was going to be all right.
Amen.
He was not a spiritual man. He was a carnal man. He was a violent man. He was a hunter. He never looked for God till now.
But the Bible says he blessed him there. The Bible says Jacob became a new man that night. You know how I know? Because God said, I'm going to change your name from Jacob, which means trickster or supplanter, to Israel, which means Prince of God.
Now, he went from a lying, thieving, sorry, low-down son and brother, trickster, to a prince of God, a child of God. Amen? Isn't that what happened the day we struggled and we got saved? We went from the devil's family to God's family that day. We went from lost to saved. We went from blind to seeing. We went from deaf to hearing. From disgrace to grace. I ain't going to say much about that. I'm preaching on that Sunday. We went from disgrace to grace.
Yes.
And now, when they look at us, they called us white trash. That's what they called us when I was growing up. They said, those Roddy's just white trash. That's all they are. And boy, now I go down there and I say, man, you ain't the same Ron Roddy I knew. I said, I know I'm a child of the King now.
Amen.
I'm not white trash. I've been adopted by the God of the universe. Because one day I struggled with that and I gave in to Him and He gave me what I was looking for. He blessed me. Amen?
He's
been blessing me ever since. And you know what else? God revealed Himself to Jacob. Has God ever revealed Himself to you? Now don't get me wrong, I've never seen God. Jacob saw a pre-incarnate Christ. It was like an angelic being. It was Jesus, but not in a human body. I can't explain that. I've never seen it, but that's what it was. And He appeared several times to people like that. He appeared as a man. He didn't. But Jacob saw God that day.
And Jacob said, I've seen God face to face today.
Boy, my life, I've seen God face to face. That day I got saved. I didn't see Him with these eyes. I saw Him with the spirit eyes. I saw Him, man, high and lifted up. My Savior, my God, my Creator, my Supplier, my Keeper. I saw it, Rick. In my mind, I could see Him.
Now, I've never seen Him with my eyes. He's never done that for me, and I don't think He's done it for anybody since He ascended back up into heaven. But I can tell you this, Jacob came out a winner. Because he faced God face to face. Now here's when you're going to start being a winner. When you just face God.
Amen.
Quit worrying about all those other faces and what they think. And start being concerned with what God's face is looking like. Amen? How's He looking on you right now? How's He looking on your problems? How's He looking on our life? Listen, we may not see Him in this life, but we won't. But one day we're going to stand before that same God. We're going to see Him eyeball to eyeball. We're going to give account for every deed done in the body. Save people for reward or loss. Lost people for degrees of punishment. Let me correct something. I know it's overtime. I need to correct something right now.
these biblically ignorant people say things like one of them said the other day, you know, this, there's no one sin greater than another sin. It's just sin is sin. I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. God is not going to judge that little boy that the worst thing he ever did was tell a lie the same way he's going to judge that pervert that molested little boys. All sin is not sin. The sin of sin you hell, sin of unbelief. Those other sins are just branches off that root. But God is a righteous and a just God, and He will judge accordingly. That murderer that's going to hell is going to be punished a whole lot different than that little old girl that ran off into sin and did things she ought not done. God's just. He's holy. He's got to do right. And one day we're going to stand before Him. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Look at it. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. He said, now right now, we're looking at the Lord through a glass, kind of darkly. We don't see it clearly. We see it through the spectacles of the Word of God. We don't. I went to see this lady in the hospital one time. She was she'd had a heart attack, and I went to see her. She wasn't a Christian, and so I talked to her a little while. I said, "Well, let me ask you something, man. For you to die during that time, do you know for sure you go to heaven?" She said, "Yeah." But I said, "How do you know that?" She said, "Well, Jesus and His 12 disciples stood at my bed this morning and told me I would." I said, "The Bible says that I wouldn't trust an angel or vision. I want to know what the Bible says. What does the Bible say?" And I took her through the scriptures. I said, "Have you ever done that?" She said, "No." I said, "Then those were not angels, and that wasn't Jesus talking to you. That was the devil trying to trick you. If you'd have died, you'd have went straight to hell." And we see Him as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. And because of that, we're changed. We're changed from glory to glory. And the closer we get to Him, and the more we see Him, and the better we see Him through the Word of God, we go from glory to glory. In other words, you get to be a better Christian and a better Christian and a better Christian and a better Christian. Amen. But you can't do it just seeing Him one time. You can get saved. Seeing Him through the Word of God one time, you can get saved. And He'll keep you. But if you want to see the power and the presence of the Holy God in your life, you're going to have to get alone somewhere, and you're going to have to wrestle sometimes with the Lord. Right. And it's not wrong to do it. He wants you to do it. Right. He wanted to bless this man, or He wouldn't have done it. Right. You don't really think that Jacob had the Lord and the Lord couldn't get loose, do you? He could have spoke the word, Jacob would have dissolved, man. He'd have melted into nothing right there. He wanted Jacob to wrestle with Him. He wanted to bless Jacob. He had plans for this man. He'd already had a name for him waiting on him. He said, "Your name's not Jacob anymore, it's Israel. And look where we're blessed from. Israel. Look where the whole world, everybody's ever been saved. Israel." He wanted to bless him. You know what he did that night, brother? He saw him face to face, and he got close to him. And the Lord saved him. And there was a transformation. You know what he did after this? He gets up and he goes to his brother. You know what his brother does? He loves him. See, God already had all that stuff worked out. It's just that Jacob didn't know it. See, you don't know what the will of God is until you do a little wrestling with Him. And then you get down the road where you've been scared to get to. When you get there, it's already all worked out because God just wanted you to talk to Him a little bit. So He made it a little bit hard on the way. He was going to bless you.
Prayer's a whole lot like wrestling, Rick. You want to wrestle? You're scared, ain't you? Scared, ain't you? I know. I'd be too if I was sitting there.
Look here, the Lord wants to bless us.
He does. He wants to bless us. But He wants us to talk to Him. You know, if my children talk to me, I'll give them anything they ask for. I will. If my grandchildren talk to me, I'll give them anything they ask for. I'll never forget. Charity came one day, and she sat on my lap when she was, I guess she was a teenager. She started rubbing on my head. She said, "Daddy, you're a good daddy." She said, "Daddy, I think your hair's starting to grow back." She had me eating right out of her hand. I said, "What do you want?" She said, $10. I said, "Here's a 20. Bring me 10 back." Of course, you never get it back. It don't, you know. I'd have given her 100. Now, God wants to do that for you, Brother Ron. He wants to do that for us, Jefferson. He's already done it a lot. All those struggles we went through, all that wrestling, couldn't sleep, worried, headaches, all these things that bothered us. And then what happened? Right down the road as we prayed, it was all right.
Yes.
He just wanted to talk to you a little bit. So, we're going to do the worldwide wrestling with the Lord. Amen?
Let's stand. Father.